We're in Daniel chapter 6
this morning with Daniel in the lion's den, and we're going to jump back a little bit to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 this evening. Everybody have a chance to find your place. All right, quiz time. Let me show you how the flesh works. Daniel chapter 3, we know the story. We're going to read it here in just a moment. We know that story of three Hebrew boys, right? They got thrown in the furnace, right? What was their names? Amos. Right on. She knew where I was going. Now let me ask you this. Don't. Some of you know, you've caught me, but the majority of us know this story by the name that the world gave these boys: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That wasn't their names. You find their names over in chapter 1, there in verse number 11: Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. My daughter, we've thrown this one at her for a long time now, so she knows where I was heading. I think I heard David over here also. But isn't it amazing how our fleshly minds gravitate that way? It's just easy to, as my preacher said, any old dead fish can float downstream. But it takes a lot of knowledge. And I know, you know, this is, the Bible's true. That's what this world called them. But we're going to look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here in chapter 3 for just a little bit this evening. Two things. One of them is really, I believe, what the main message, but there's another thing I just want to hit real quickly while we're here. Let's stand together real quickly, chapter 3 this evening. We'll sort of read through some of this. We won't read the whole thing. Verse 1 says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried out aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down in worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all the kinds of music, that all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Verse 8, wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said, to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fire furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of the burning fire furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. God, thank you, Lord, for the good word of God this evening, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, just for the next few moments, God, that as we try to just dive into these scriptures, God, is, Lord, you just speak to our hearts. And God, Lord, I know you know the needs. I know I have needs this evening, Lord. And God, I pray this evening, God, you'd help us to be strong in these days. Lord, we need some people, God, that'll stand true, and God, it won't bow, as we know about these three men, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, as you'd encourage hearts this evening, Lord. God, clear our minds, God. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to be drifting from left to right, Lord. But God, help us this evening, God, to stay point on cue, Lord. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you do here. For us, on Christ's name we pray. Amen. You be seated this evening. And again, we know this story. This is one of these stories that you've probably heard most of your life if you've been in church like I have. And again, we know that here Nebuchadnezzar has built an image. And he sets his images up and he brings in all the people and he says, listen, when you hear the music, you're going to bow down and you're going to worship this image that I've made, and it's my gods. And so they have a big to-do and the image is unveiled and the music begins to play and everybody falls down except a few people. And then that caused trouble. And it's going to cause trouble in our days. And we're living in one of those days, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse, that it's going to be easier to go with the flow than it will be to stand when everybody else is bowing. Now, this isn't really the message this evening, but it's one of those things that just comes true as we read through these verses tonight. You need to be ready to stand when everybody else ain't standing. And it's easy to stand inside the church house. It's easy to come together and be a church family like we are and come in here and enjoy the songs, enjoy the preaching, enjoy the fellowship. But when you get out to the workplace, and young people, when you go back to school here in a few weeks, or when you go to the workplace or down to Walmart, wherever you might go, it's a different story when everybody else is tearing down God for you to stand up and say, I believe God, as we looked at this morning. But these three men, they did that in the midst of all of this, knowing what was said, knowing what was told them, that if they didn't do what the king said, they'd be thrown into that fiery furnace. But they made a choice to stand and do right. And this season, we too need to make a choice. And you, listen, it didn't start right then. This was something that was burning in their hearts, something that had been growing and growing and growing. And friends, you can't wait until the enemy's at your doorstep to wonder what you're going to do. You need to start right now preparing yourselves. And when the time comes, you'll be ready to do what you're going to do. And again, it's just easy. And did you notice the world? Did you notice what the king did? And that's exactly what the world does. Look there, verse number 15. He says, now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harps, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast into. What's he doing? He's giving him another opportunity. All right, you stood one time, but maybe you didn't understand. Maybe I need to explain it a little bit deeper. Maybe I need to really let you understand that if you don't bow, you're going to be thrown into a furnace. And the world will never give up. They will constantly gnaw at you and constantly gnaw at you and constantly gnaw at you. What Miss Karen showed me in the paper, that's some of that gnawing. That's some of that that's just, you know, does it get under your skin? And it should. Sin ought to bother us. We shouldn't be used to the things of this world. But the king here, again, attacks. The king here gives an opportunity. And listen, this world will constantly give us opportunities to deny God. You look at the disciples. How quickly, when Christ was arrested, how quickly they turned and ran. Well, I'd never do that. They probably said the same thing when they were sitting around the fire with Jesus. Is that not what Peter said? Peter said, oh no, I'll die. And where'd Peter end up? What about us? So, we see again the story here that's unfolding. And there's some statements here I just want to, again, I made mention the sermon or the message. I really want to preach this more, but I can't help but look at this one thing here this evening. Look with me here in verse number 15. It says, if you be ready, what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then notice this next. I got this underlined. Notice this. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, I want to ask you something. You ever had that thing where somebody reads something, you got to fill in the blank? Now I want to ask you, you answer the question in your own heart. Who is that God? Who's the God that can deliver you? Who is the God that did deliver you? He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. He's the door. He is that I am. Who is that God? And you know, today the world is looking for somebody to tell them, who is this God that you say can deliver? And I believe it'd be good for you and I as a church to get excited one more time about that God. It wasn't Obama that delivered me. It won't be Hillary. I'll give you her new name. Teflon Hillary. Nothing sticks to her. It won't be Hillary that delivers. It won't be Trump that delivers. Who is that God? And I'm glad this evening that I can stand here. Now listen, this world, religions all around, they have all kinds of little gods. But that ain't what my Bible said. Who is that God? Who is that God? Big G. The one and only, the true, the living God. Who's that God? And it ought to be something that when we ought to have so much that we know about Him. There ought to be such a love affair of our lives with God that we ought to be able to just let it bust out of us. When the opportunity comes, yeah, that's my God. Does it bother you when people use God's name in vain? It bothers me. I hate to hear people. And I've told people, I don't want to hear that. And you ought to not want to hear that. That's my God. That's the one that delivered me. That's the one that provides for me. That's the one that loves me and walks with me and talks with me. That's my God. And that's what the king asked. Who is that God that you think is going to deliver you? And church, this evening, I wonder where our desire, where our hunger for that God. And that's what the king's asking. Who is that God? And some of you have heard this before. It's probably one of the I remember Brandon, I think, preached that this one time. And I just want to read it to you. This isn't me. This is somebody else did this. His name was Lockridge. He's a pastor in California. He wrote this in 1976. It's called, That's My King. Who is that God? My king was born king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings, and he's the Lord of lords. Now, that's my king. Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. My king is the only one in whom there are no means or measures that can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of the shore of his supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduring strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's honest. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the grandest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in higher criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of historic theology. He's the carnal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my king. He's the miracle of all ages. He's the pearl of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's the Almighty God who guides and keeps all his people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives the sinners. He discharges the debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. That's my king. Do you know him? How do you know him? It's an amazing thing to me. There's a little bit more to read this, but it's an amazing thing to me. Now, this is hard. Help me out. If Garrett was here, he could help me. What sound does a cow make? Come on, this ain't a trick question. One more time. That's exactly it. But you know, mama cow, as many little calves as out in our pasture going moo, mama knows which one's hers. Mama knows that voice. Baby knows mama. You get a bunch of babies crying. Mama knows which one's hers. Why? They know him. They know what's theirs. When's the last time you heard God? When's the last time you felt his presence? When's the last time he just sat down beside of you and had a good time? I just wonder, do you know him? Well, my king is the king of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomer. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings and lord of lords. That's my king. His office is manifold. His promises are sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. That's my king. He's incomprehensible. He's invisible. He's irresistible. I'm coming to tell you this, that the heavens of heavens can't contain him, let alone some man explain him. I can't imagine this preacher preaching this. If you want to hear it, you can actually hear this sermon. It's online. You ought to listen to it. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree about him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, he always will be. I'm talking about the fact that he had no predecessor and he has no successor. There's nobody before him and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him and he's not going to resign. That's my king. I hope he's your king. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Well, all the power belongs to my king. We're around here talking about black power and white power and green power, but in the end, all that matters is God's power. Hello. That'd go well today, I believe. Yeah. Thine is the power, yea, and the glory. We try to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Yes, thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? Forever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the evers, then, amen. That's my king. And that's what the king asked these three men. Who is that God? Let me back up just one chapter. There's an interesting phrase that was given to King. Look back over in Daniel chapter 2. Here we have the story of God using the man of God, Daniel, to tell the king what his dream meant, and this was the doings of God. Look at verse 28. Well, back up verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath determined cannot the wise men, the astrologers, magicians, and soothsayers show unto the king?" Can't this world figure this thing out? Y'all are so smart. Can't you figure this out? But then he says, verse 28. But there is a God. Who is that God? Daniel said, "I done told you about him." King must have forgot, huh? Yeah. Who is that God? Ain't that amazing? Well, that's the appetizer. That's a little get your palate ready for the rest of it. No, I love it when I come across little things like that. Who is that God? But what I wanted to look at this evening, this is more teaching, and I really believe it's a teaching that we don't hear a lot of. We talk about faith, we preach about faith, we say we have faith, we sing about faith, we say we walk by faith. But I want to really look at that faith a little bit this evening, and through what we see here with these three men and what's taking place in their lives. Now again, here are three men. Here they are, the king, not some guy off the street, but the king has brought these three men. And again, I don't think like everybody else does. I just try to picture in my mind, here all this crowd of folks are. And I mean, they're having a big to-do. And all everybody's going, ooh, look at that. Wow, look at that. Ooh, look at that. And all of a sudden, the music begins to play, and all of a sudden, everybody's on their face. And here's some guys. What are y'all doing? That's just a stick of gold, man. Can you see it? And then the king finds out. Go get them. So they bring them up to the king. The king says, did you really do that? That's what he said. He said, is it true? Did you really do what they say you did? I like to do things that people don't really think we do. Amen. You ever seen those salmon swim upstream? That's an amazing feat, isn't it? It takes nothing to swim down it, I bet. To watch them rascals swim up that stream and jump. Ever seen those up in Alaska? Ever seen those? I've never seen it in person, but I sure have seen them on TV and different things. See them rascals jump up a waterfall. Not everybody can do that, can they? That's out of the norm, isn't it? I don't want to be like the normal around here. I'm not around. This ain't us. This ain't home. This is my kind of crowd. I don't fit in that puzzle. But here, he brings them in front of the king, and the king, is it true, fellas? These guys wasn't the butlers. These guys wasn't the janitors. These were men of men. These were men that the king had raised up, and they were now in leadership roles, and here they are going against the king. And the king's like, did you really do that? Look on with me. And he asked that question, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He's pretty proud of himself, ain't he? Yeah. This is what the world is too. The world thinks you got to have them. And that's how government does. This isn't my government messages, but I've said it before. You know how government controls? Free ice cream. You can't live without my free ice cream. Keep your ice cream. It's the same old trick. I've used it many a times. What do you mean? Grandpa say we got to move the cows. Okay, we had two pastures. We put them on this side for a while, let them eat the grass down. When the grass got eaten down on that side, we'd move them into the other pasture. Now, cows just don't follow like a dog would. So what do? Metal bucket. Little sweet feed. 3 or 4 days before you want to get them to move, you go out there, soak the cows in. For you that don't know what that means, it's calling the cows. You soak them in. You pour out some of that feed. And they're like, that's good stuff. I like it. Surely tastes better than that old nasty grass out there. So, the next day you come back out there, you got the same bucket. Oh, cow smart. Man with bucket means food. Pours out some more. That's good. That's better than that stuff out there. And by about the third or fourth day, you can have an empty bucket. They'll follow you wherever you want to go. And that's what the world does to the people. They get you thinking you got to have it. Look. And I'm a tech type of guy. Look how fast gadgets come out. Oh, it's a new phone. I got to have that new phone. People stand in line for hours and days to get a new phone. I got to have the new phone. If I don't have a new phone, what's a new phone going to do? Well, a phone makes phone calls. Well, don't your phone make phone calls? Yeah, but this was better. Really? Who says? Is that not what the world does? You got to have this. Oh, it's the latest. It's the greatest. You got to have this. Young people, hello. Got to have it. It ain't just y'all either. It's old people do it too. And the world just wants to get you to follow them and drag you into their mess. And that's exactly what's taking place here. And who is that God? Your God can't do that. You got to have me. Notice verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, now this is it. O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, what does that mean? Again, if Ronald Reagan was still alive and you had an opportunity to meet him, I wasn't going to say Obama because probably nobody in here cared to even talk to Obama. I don't know. I'd probably talk to him. Why? Because I'd ask him about getting saved. Wouldn't that be an opportunity? But if you were going to stand before, you know, we're all human, right? Everybody out here human? I hope you are. We have been taught, and there's nothing wrong with this. I believe it's right. You know, I look up to my daddy. I respect my father. I still treat him with respect. I still acknowledge he's my daddy. I think we ought to teach our children that way. My pastor, I still respect him. He's my pastor. I still treat him with that same respect because of the job, not because of John Whaler and who he is, but because of the place he is in my life. And even with the things of the president, whoever the president is, even if it's Hillary, the Bible says, you need to respect that office. You need to pray for them. Hello? That's in Romans. We looked at that. But if you knew that you was going to meet with the president tomorrow, you'd probably give a great thought of how you were going to respond. You would ponder. You wouldn't talk like me. You use better English. You'd probably try to be more professional. You know, this ain't just the guy at the cash register. This is the president. Well, you know what these three guys just said? Here they are. The king's got them all down there. He's like, look, fellas, I'm hearing that y'all didn't do what you were told to do. I said that when the music played, you were supposed to bow down. Is it true? If it's true and you don't do what I say, I'm going to throw you in the furnace. Then he asked the question, who's that God you think's going to deliver you? And then it's their turn to talk. Now, future son-in-law, Mama, don't get mad at me over there. I'm going to blow your head off. What are you going to say? You going to say what I want you to say? Probably. These three guys are standing before the man that had the gun to their head.
That's right.
This is what they say. King, we're not even going to think about what we're going to say. We're not listening. That's what it says. Look at it. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. It's not even a question in our mind. We're not even contemplating. We know what side we're standing on, and that's where we're going to stand. That's what they're saying. Now, this is the message this evening. I've got to hurry. Faith. Look at verse 17, a great picture of faith. Again, they're answering the king, verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. That's the faith. This evening, we should have that faith that God is that God. Who is that God? Oh, it's the God that can heal the sick. It's the God that can open the eyes of the blind. It's the God that can take a coin out of the fish's mouth. It's the God that can meet my every need. That's that God. And friend, this evening, you and I believe with all our heart, as we've lived our life, as we pray, as circumstances come into our life, we have that faith. Can God supply a table in the wilderness? And we'd say, sure, God can. God can do those things. God can open up the Red Sea and let them walk across on dry land. God can hold the sun in the sky and hold time back. God can do those things. And we have that faith that when things come into our life, that we pray and we believe that God can and that God will. That's what most people have their faith. But there's another kind of faith here that most of us never think about. Let me show you. Verse 18. It's the but if not faith. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, this evening, I would say with all my heart that most of us this evening, if I would come to you and say, do you believe God can cure cancer? Do you believe that God can meet your financial needs? Do you believe that God can take a broken home and put it back together again? Do you believe God can take the worst sinner out there and save them? We'd say, that's our God. That's Him. Now, remember who's doing the talking. Three men with a gun to their head. Three men that know that right in any second they're getting ready to die. But they say in verse 17, our God will deliver us. But then we have that other faith. But if not, now let me ask you this. This is what I want you to get a hold of. When you find out you have cancer and you begin to pray, can God heal you of cancer? Does it all the time. But what if you don't? When there's not enough money in the bank and there's more month than there is money, can God supply your need? But what if you don't? But if you don't? Are we able this evening to say, that's my God? And even if he don't, that's still my God. What do you mean, preacher? See, it's so easy to shout and run the aisles and when everything turns out the way we want it to. Oh, look at my God. But what if he don't do what we want him to do? And things don't turn out the way we want them to turn out. And our prayers don't get answered the way we think they ought to be answered. What about that faith? That's the faith of verse 18. But if you don't. And this evening, it'd be good in our hearts this evening if we get so close to God that we know that's our God and that's the God that can. It's the God that will. And even if he don't, I'm still going to love him. I'm still going to trust him. Why? Because he knows more than I know. He knows what his will is better than my will. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. Hey, we need to understand, it's not what I want, but it's what he wants. That's that, but if you don't faith. Over there in James, it talks about if it be thy will. How do you pray, preacher? I've prayed this way many times, Lord. This is what I'd like to see happen. But, Lord, I don't know what you want. And Lord, I'd love to see this person healed, or I'd love to see this person get well, or I'd love to see this person get back on their feet, or I'd love to see this home get back together. But Lord, I know you're right. But if he don't, you know what happens in a lot of people's lives? I've seen it happen. My mama, and I love my mama to death. I've talked with her about it. She got, and I think she might still be bitter with God a little bit over some things, because God didn't do what she thought God should do. You know what happens to most of us when we feel like God failed us? Now listen, when that's your child laying in that bed, when that's your husband or your wife, when that's your home, and you've prayed, and then God didn't answer your prayer. But if you don't, most people, I've seen it happen so many times, get mad at God, get bitter with God, quit on God. Why? God was good when he was doing what I wanted him to do. But now that it's not what I thought, and it didn't happen the way I thought, and it didn't turn out the way I thought. See, these three boys, verse 17 says, our God's going to deliver. Her mama. Man, people all over the... Before Facebook. before all the mess that's out there. Tweet, Twitter, twat, and all that other stuff. Split and splat. Speaking of that... Why are you laughing? Made me think. Spit. Anybody ever heard of a game called Spit? I hadn't either until I was on vacation. See me later. I'll tell you all about spit. It's not chew tobacco either. But there was churches all over the world praying for her mama. I believe her daddy wept and begged God. But guess what? She died. Why did she die, preacher? Because God's ways are higher than our ways. His will is right. And that's that faith that we... And that's what they're saying there in verse number 18. But if you don't, we're still going to just serve God. That's where we need to get in our spiritual walk. That's where we need to grow as individuals and as a church. That, yes, praise God, he can, he will. That's the God that I serve. And even if it don't go the way I think, he's still the same God. And I love him just the same, and I'll worship him just the same, and I'll serve him just the same. Can we say that this evening? I don't know. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. That's her mama. She don't have cancer today. God really answered the prayer. Just not in the way that we thought it'd be answered. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I promise you, it's better to go with God than to go with this world. 17:18, two faiths. The faith that the God that when he does heal, miraculously, marvelously, wonderful, but when he don't do what we think he'll do, he's still the same miraculous, wonderful God. Wonderful. It's wonderful. Amen. Hope that'll stick to your ribs a little bit. Who's that God? Hope you'll chew on that one too. Let's stand this evening.